We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. You know who agrees with lame names, James?
Who's that?
Mel Kiper.
Oh, wait a minute. Mel Kiper.
Mel Kiper's latest mock draft. Number 32.
I love Mel Kiper.
Cleland Farrell, defensive end Clemson. Hmm. Patriots and Belichick have never drafted a player from Clemson before now.
Sam the Eagle of the NFL draft, Mel Kiper, getting it done once again. So do you think Kiper agrees with James, or James saw what Kiper wrote and then went with that?
You decide.
Potentially.
You
know,
it could have been that, you know, Kiper checked out what he said and went, ooh, okay then.
Phil Perry from NBC Sports Boston, Dale, did a Patriots 7-round mock draft, 6.0. And I guess this was according to the fans. So I guess he must have had them vote or whatever. But he had, going number 32, another Clemson defensive tackle, Dexter Lawrence. Yeah, cue the music. And this is what Phil wrote about Dexter Lawrence and that pick. This is a really deep draft when it comes to help along the defensive line. But if Lawrence is available here, he's a rare enough physical specimen. Ready for this? 6'4", 342 pounds, 35-inch arms, and a 5.040-yard dash. He'd be worth a first-round pick. He says the Patriots need to replace Malcolm Brown and Danny Shelton somehow. I know how. Anybody. Just a body alone would replace those guys. He said Lawrence would be an immediate plug-and-play option, and then he talks about some of the other guys that were up for that spot. So I could definitely see, I want tight end, but defensive tackle, I think, would make a lot of
sense. Makes a lot of sense.
Right? They've drafted guys there. Although, Malcolm Brown, Dominique Easley were both defensive linemen first-round picks. And as good as Belichick has been at drafting in the first round, those are two that I'm sure he'd like to have back.
Mel Kiper, by the way, the other name that was given out by Lame Names James,
yes,
was Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle from Clemson.
I don't know if he'll be there, will he?
Kuiper's got him go 13th to the Miami Dolphins.
Seems higher than 32.
A little higher than 32.
Well, you never know. He could fall.
All right, let's get back to the calls with you guys. We'll talk about all of this stuff, draft and you know, Ben Watson and everything else. Tommy Curran will join us an hour from now. 617-779-7937. Mark's in Medford. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's going on?
Just simple question, guys. I'm wondering, where is our seventh player award winner, Chris Wagner? Is he hurt? Is he scratched?
Getting true information is a little tough this time of year. I believe he has been a healthy scratch the last two games.
And any particular reason why? Will we see him in this series, seeing that Columbus is a much heavier team and we need more bodies out there to start hitting people?
I mean, I got to be honest with you, Mark. You do know they won the last two games without him, right?
No, absolutely.
I'm curious what it is you think they're missing.
Yeah, I don't know if he's the X factor.
That was the original fourth line that was pretty damn good all year. Was Achari, Wagner, and Corrali.
It was great. I'd love to see Chris Wagner, but my point is that fourth line with Nordstrom was great in game 7.
Absolutely was. I mean, if you told me that, you know, the first three goals were going to be scored by Nordstrom, Johansson, and Wagner, I would have thought you were high.
Right.
But it ended up working out. All right, thanks,
the answer is yes. I imagine you'll see Chris Wagner during this series. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw David Backus at some point during this series. I don't think it'll be tonight.
No, I think they're definitely, especially after taking the game 6 lineup and bringing the exact same group back for game 7, both elimination games, it'd be shocking almost if Cassidy went with any other lineup to start game 1.
We'll hear from Bruce soon. They'll have what I assume will be an optional. They usually do optionals on day of game skates, but he'll meet with the media.
Yeah.
And he's been pretty forthright, other than the one time about keeping the line together, and he didn't exactly tell the truth. But he said day before, this guy's going to go in, this guy's going to come out.
Who's in? He has been
pretty
honest
forthright.
About it. Even Backus, we saw going into game 1 last series, he was laying the clues that Backus wasn't going to play, at least in the first game.
Scott's in New Hampshire. Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I got a question for you.
Right.
Do you think the Lightnings are playing really with one hand tied behind the back with the loss of Hedman and Stallman, and that's going to make a big difference not having that kind of problem with the Bruins playing them with the Columbus.
I think that and Hedman and Strawman were vital cogs. Tampa Bay still should have beat Columbus.
They definitely should have. They had enough. They're deep enough. And even, I know Kucherov was suspended for a game, so that was a big blow, too. But still, they had enough to beat Columbus. So I still give Columbus full credit. But you're right. It wasn't the 100% healthy Tampa Bay Lightning that they beat.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Thank you, Scott.
By the way, that's true.
I mean, they were missing some guys, but still, they should have won.
Just a quick note about officiating, and just because I find this stuff interesting. As you go further and further into the playoffs, the National Hockey League, you know, drops officials off the list because you have fewer games, you know, going on.
Right.
The two referees, Meyer and Hansen, who worked game two of the Leafs-Bruins series, the gong show, which included Nazem Kadri's cross-check to the head.
Yeah, it got away from him a little bit.
It got away from him a lot. They have not been selected to continue working in the playoffs.
Oh, they've been asked to watch at home?
They are now done.
Those guys.
The two referees, O'Halloran and Furlatt, who worked game seven of the San Jose-Vegas Golden Knights series, which included the five-minute major penalty call. And,
that was so cheap.
They have been invited to watch the rest of these playoffs.
I think that's a good call. Yeah, I don't need any of those guys out there ruining my games.
So when we ask, you know, is there ever any repercussions to officials if they don't do a good job, you're looking at among the repercussions.
Yeah,
they just say, you know what, we're going to just
a little late for Vegas, though, right?
A little late for, I mean.
Let's say they're not exactly there. Like, oh, good, those guys aren't going to do any more games. Oh, great, okay, I feel better. Yes, okay, great.
Matt's in Wilmington. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Dale. Hey, Keith.
What's up?
What's going on?
So, Dale, I think you're in trouble with this Wiggy bet guarantee if you bet him anything, because I think the whole reason why the Bruins Cassidy had to change that first line is because Pastrnak, not Marchand, was awful. Pastrnak literally couldn't get out of his own way, couldn't make a pass, turnover machine, couldn't collect a puck. Anytime he got bumped, he fell down. He was passing when he should be shooting. He was terrible, and I think they had to neutralize that Marner-Tavares line. So Cassidy basically, by no choice, aside from offensively, defensively, put Heinen on that first line to shore that up, because that line was doing some damage in the first three games. And then, you know, you roll that way, and obviously it worked out. So I think now maybe they go back to what has worked throughout the entire season, Bergeron, Marchand, and Pastrnak, and see if Pasta finally shook off the cobwebs and woke up a little bit and get some offense going against a new team.
So you're with Wiggy. You think Cassidy puts Pastrnak back with Bergeron and Marchand tonight?
Yeah, I think you have to give it a go, because I think it had to do more with that Tavares-Marner line and how bad Pastrnak was playing against those guys and to get him away from them than it was, hey, the entire cohesion. I agree Bergeron doesn't look 100% healthy, but I think now that you're playing a new team, different matchup, different lineup, different everything, you give them a chance again to get back to what they've been doing all season long.
I'll be surprised if it happens tonight, but if it does, you and Wiggy will both be wrong and I'll be right. I believe that what Bruce Cassidy's going to do tonight is duplicate what you saw in the last two games. I think that's how he'll start tonight. Now, obviously, game as it progresses and things happen.
Oh, yeah, make changes, yeah.
He is not afraid to shuffle lines around.
But does Columbus have a line that's as good as Toronto's top line?
That's pretty good.
But it's not as good as Toronto's, is it?
It's in the ballpark,
okay. I don't think they're as talented. I think the Maple Leafs are a better team. You know, I think Columbus probably has better defensemen, but Toronto's defensemen weren't really a liability at all in the first round. I think Toronto, in fact, there's a chance the Bruins could play a worse team each round. Like, depending on how it all plays out, I think if they just played Toronto, who I think is better than Columbus. And then if they end up playing the Hurricanes, I think the Hurricanes are worse than Columbus is. And then depending on who comes out of the West, it could be like a bizarro playoff run.
617-779-7937. Gary's in Plymouth. Hey, Gary.
Hi. How you doing?
Hi.
I just wanted to say, first of all, I do agree with mostly everything you said. I don't blame this on Pastrnak at all. I think that they're saying he's not getting an open lane. So obviously, well, not so obvious, but you shoot without a lane, the odds are real good the puck's going to land on the wrong stick at the end of it. So I think that he's doing as best as he can, and I, like you said, I think they can shuffle it around because it's such a fluid motion thing. I do believe they should start them all three together, Bergeron, Pastrnak, Marchand. I think that's the best way to attack, at least, and that way the other team thinks that's what's coming, and then maybe you switch it up real quick, you know. But my belief is I think Tuukka Rask is carrying this very well. You know, everybody's, you know, there's two different schools, of course. One says he sucks, one says he's good. You know, I think that he's really holding this together because the other guys, people that are in front of him that are supposed to keep the puck away from him, aren't doing that. So when he does badly,
well, I think he was great in Game 7, absolutely. But I wouldn't say he carried them in the series by any means. I think the most recent game he was the best player on the ice, but the first six games, I don't know, I thought he was fine.
Right. He handled it. He carried it. You know, not carried the weight, didn't cover the whole entire thing.
He was fine. Yeah, he was fine.
I think he deserves a lot of credit.
He ended on a high note. Sure. Obviously, Game 7, you're going to look back on it, and, you know, whether if you play great, you're even better. If you played poorly, you're even worse. Like, that's just how Game 7s are. But Tuukka was great then. He was not great the first six games, though.
He was good. He wasn't great.
Yeah, right.
Game 7, I thought he was great.
Right.
Clearly outplayed Frederik Andersen in Game 7, which is why you're playing tonight. I think Tuukka Rask has been very good. There's some interesting numbers out there. People are entrenched in their Tuukka Rask positions.
Right.
They like him or they don't like him, and there's nothing I'm going to say that's going to change their opinions.
Yeah, if you like him, you look at Game 7 and you say, see, I told you. And if you don't like him, you say, well, just wait. Right? That's all you can do. You can't say anything bad about Game 7, but what you could say is, all right, well, that was the first round. Let's see how he does in this round. Like, you can always kind of, until he wins the cup, the Tuukka detractors are always going to have, all right, let's see what happens.
The Twitter site Bruins Stats put out a stat yesterday. In the history of the National Hockey League, all-time save percentage, minimum 300 games.
Mm-hmm.
Dominik Hasek is first.
Good goalie.
922.
Yep.
He's tied with Ken Dryden, 922.
Good goalie.
Then Tuukka Rask, 921. In the history of the NHL, playoff save percentage, Tuukka Rask is third all-time, behind Tim Thomas, who's number one.
He's good, yeah.
Braden Holtby, who's number two.
He's out.
And then Rask and Hasek are tied at three. But when you say that to people, they'll say, yeah, but he gives up bad goals.
Yeah.
Or, you know, he's soft or he's sick or...
He does give up soft goals.
Once in a while.
Yeah, he does. But I mean...
The Austin Matthews goal in game...
Yeah, that was odd.
Two, was it? Game three, I think.
Game three was a puzzling one. The morning rushes, which could always be different. Again, we've seen Cassidy go in with a line and then change it last second. But Pasternak was on the line with Krejci. And then for the caller that I was asking about Wagner, he was on the third line. So if you'll get Wagner. It was Coyle, Johansson, Wagner. So maybe that'll be the line. Nordstrom still on the fourth line. No Backes.
Speaking of people who are entrenched in what they think about Tuukka, Joe's on the cell. Hey, Joe.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, what's up, Joe?
Hold on, guys.
Yeah, we'll wait. Sorry, but, no, go ahead. We'll wait. That's fine.
I want to say to these guys that are calling about Tuukka Rask. Tuukka Rask, he sucks. He's not a goalie that's going to win a series for you.
Did he not just do that, Joe?
Dill.
Joe, did you take him to Game 7 at all, or?
Dill, one game. That was one game. Rich, you even said it. The previous six games, he wasn't that great.
No, I know, but Game 7 was pretty important. You kind of got to give him that.
All right, okay, but that doesn't like erase all the games that he doesn't play well. Okay, yes, he had a great Game 7.
Right.
I'm not going to deny it.
Yeah,
I don't like his style of play. The guy's always on his knees. I don't know why. He's always on his knees. I don't know if it's a personal thing. He's used to being on his knees. But this guy is not the guy that's going to be...
Oh, come on. Come on, man.
I'm telling you. All right, I got to go, guys.
Yeah, all right. You can take it easy. Coming out and saying that Tuukka Rask sucks.
Joe's going to be a guy. Later on, he'll be, assuming that he does brush his teeth, he'll be doing it by the numbers because, well, you know, he
can't have everything.
It's direction.
Though, you know?
Tuukka Rask sucks.
Well, he sucks.
You know, that's.
So, Barstool.
Remember I
said
you're entrenched one way or the other?
Yeah, you pick a side and you're already in. Doesn't matter what happens in these games until he wins a cup because then you can always go back to that. But Barstool, they have a million shirts, but one of the shirts that they have out there, which is a good one, is just very simple. It says, Tuukka Rask is good. Right? They make one for Al Horford. They made one for David Price. And I don't know if there was somebody else. But just Tuukka Rask is good.
Tuukka Rask, he sucks.
Nope, that's not the shirt. It's just simply is good. And I think that's kind of what he is. I don't think he is great. Like, I think there are better goalies than him. But I think with this team, I've always thought... With this team and the ability for them to score and their defensemen, everything put together, he is good enough to win a cup. He certainly doesn't suck, but he's also not the best goalie in the league. But there is, believe it or not, sort of a middle ground there. And I don't think people, they're one side or the other.
It is one or the other.
Yeah, yeah.
For some folks, like Joe,
yeah.
I mean, there is nothing he could do or say.
No, he doesn't.
If
like
Tuukka Rask led the Bruins to a Stanley Cup championship, at the end of it, Joe would still say, he still sucks.
Yeah, that would be kind of hard to say. Because I feel like that's just sort of the one thing. Until the goalie wins the cup, like, you always have that argument. And you're like, well, he's never won one. You're like, well, that's, I suppose that's true. But that also sounds like the same kind of person that no matter who the goalie is, sucks. So if you saw Halak for 50, 60 games, well, now Halak sucks. If you saw the next guy, that, well, that guy sucks. And that's just what it is, because when, unless it's a shutout every single game, so many people point to it and they go, oh, well, we shouldn't have let that one in. And you're like, oh, all right.
Ken's in Worcester. Hey, Ken.
Hello?
I'm sorry.
Hello?
That's okay.
That's all right. Were we on hold?
What's up, Ken?
What was that?
Yeah, this is, it's not Ken, it's Tim, but we'll take it.
Hey, oh, Tim.
I just want to comment on the, you know, I think you guys mentioned earlier that the Toronto Maple Leafs and trying to match them up to the Columbus Blue Jackets. I think that the Columbus Blue Jackets have a lot more talent. You know, they got guys like Ryan Zingel, they got Seth Jones, Zach Werenski. So,
you think they have a lot more talent than Austin Matthews, John Tavares, Mitch Marner?
I do. I mean, I think that Austin Matthews had a subpar performance. I think Mitch Marner had a subpar performance.
You can be bad. You can have a not great series, but I'm just saying going into it, talent-wise, you don't think Toronto has more talent than Columbus?
Well, I mean, if your talent doesn't show up, then, I mean, what use is it?
Well, so how do you know if their talent's going to show, how do you know Columbus's talent's going to show up in the series?
I just think that they've been well-rested. History has shown us that, you know, sometimes a rest can be damaging. But the Bruins playing that tough seven-round series against Toronto, it might pose some issues for them. I hope it doesn't, but I think it's going to. That was a very taxing, you know, seven games that they played.
Look, you play seven games, it's always taxing. I agree with that. And ultimately, look, if you're going to win a Stanley Cup, you're going to have four rounds that are going to be tough on you. You know, it is just the way this is. I do think that the Columbus Blue Jackets have some very talented forwards. Artemi Panarin is terrific.
Yeah.
Matt Duchene, Cam Atkinson. I'm a huge fan of Josh Anderson, and I know he's a third-line guy, but, I mean, he's a bruising power forward. While Seth Jones and Zach Werenski are pretty good offensive defensemen, they are also maddening at times in their own end.
Mm.
They are a team that you can actually take advantage of, I think, and do a good job on. Now, what scares me from the Columbus Blue Jackets' perspective is the way their power play dismantled the Tampa Bay Lightning. Tampa Bay had the best penalty kill in the NHL in the regular season, and the Columbus Blue Jackets had the best power play percentage in the playoffs so far. They're around 50%. Bruins are second. If the Bruins can't sort that out, it could be a short series. But as far as matching up, And these are all things that, you know, you can take with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
There's a site called the Daily Faceoff, and they look at the line combinations for each team, and they rank them. They use all these player ratings. And for instance, the number one line for the Bruins is considered the number one first line left in the playoffs, and that's with Danton Heinen on right wing.
Okay.
The number two line for the Bruins is considered the number one second line in the NHL right now. And that's with DeBrusk and Krejci and Pasternak. To put it in perspective for the Columbus Blue Jackets, the way they've got it set up is they've got Panarin, Pierre-Luc Dubois, and Bjorkstrand as the number one line. They've got them ranked number 20 in the NHL as far as first lines are concerned.
Right.
Their second line, which is Dzingel, Duchene, and Atkinson, is number 5 in the NHL.
Right.
The Bruins are better.
Oh, the Bruins are better. My point is, I think Toronto's actually better.
Yeah, they might be.
That's just what I think. And I think those guys, and we're going to get to learn them, obviously, in this series starting tonight. But I just looked at it, and the top-end talent that Toronto had, I mean, they have a number of forwards. You know, what did Marner have, like 94 points this year? And, you know, Matthews and Tavares almost had a 50-goal season. I mean, those guys are elite. I think Columbus has, without question, really good forwards and really good defensemen, but I just think if you're matching up, I think the one advantage Columbus has over Toronto is their goaltender. I would say that Bobrovsky is definitely better than Frederik Andersen is. That's the one big advantage I would give him.
Gary's in Plymouth. Hey, Gary.
Hi. I just want to respond to that guy that came on just after me and said
you know, Tuukka Rask sucks, and obviously he doesn't suck because he wouldn't
Tuukka Rask, he sucks.
Yeah, that guy.
That gentleman, yeah.
That was awful, and he slid in an ignorant comment, so yeah. Even if you look up ignorant in the dictionary, his picture should be there. But,
right.
You know, half the stops that are made, or more than half the stops, are from the midway up the post down. So you need to spend time down on the ground. You know, that's all there is to it. Many people are perfect at lifting the puck up over it, but obviously your head and your hands are above there, so you can possibly make a stop. And if you stop what's coming down near the five hole and whatnot, you know, that's where you belong, you know. So I think that his whole theory is way off base. And like I said, I don't like what he said, you know.
I agree with you, Gary. Tuukka Rask is a good goaltender.
Let's work in Mike in Springfield real quick.
Okay.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Hey, you guys didn't realize that Joe was Jermaine Wiggins?
Was he really?
Was it? Yeah.
I think actually.
Listen to the call. Yeah, it's definitely Wiggy.
Tuukka Rask, he sucks.
Yeah, no, yeah, he actually likes Tuukka. We had Wiggy on yesterday. He actually is a.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Tuukka fan.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So I don't think he would do that. I don't think he would do that. I don't think he'd prank us.
Probably he doesn't really know how to say Tuukka's name, though.
Tuukka. No,
yeah, he has a hard time.
That's all right. It's close enough.
617-779-7937. Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joins us at the top of the hour. We'll talk some NFL draft and perhaps some other roster additions for the New England Patriots.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
You know, Yarmo deserves a lot of credit, you know, recognizing where he thought his group was at, and they took a run. You know, kudos to them and their whole group for earning the right to get in, and same to us, you know, for having the opportunity to play against them. I think our group has proved over the last couple of years we've been a good hockey club, and we'd like to continue to have the opportunity to play and go further.
General Manager Don Sweeney talking about Jarmo Kekäläinen, who took a run at it, as Don Sweeney said. Did he ever?
Sure did.
When we thought they were going to be sellers, they ended up being buyers.
Yeah. Everybody thought Panarin was going to be the top player traded. It was like, oh, how much is it going to cost to get him? Would you want to give up a first-round pick and all this other stuff? And then they just said, well, let's go to Ottawa and take away two of their best players and go from there. And now here they are in the second round for the first time. So, yeah, they bet on themselves, and they came up winners.
And they're going to end up having to blow it up. I mean, they right. really, this is a, you better win now. They've got 6 unrestricted free agents on this team. And, you know, most people didn't think they were going to keep Artemi Panarin. They certainly don't think they're going to be able to re-sign him.
Right.
We'll see what happens after that. Back to the calls with you guys, 617-779-7937. Mark's in Rhode Island. Hey, Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
What's up, Mark?
I wanted to talk to you guys, and I wanted to hit the points that Dale and yourself have made about rest versus rust. Hmm. I keep saying this, you know, that 9-game layoff, athletes are a creature of habit. They need it every day, you know, as far as practice, routine. And when that's interrupted for a long period of time, it's hard to get back in. So I think the first period, it's going to be interesting because the Bruins are going fast. The Columbus Blue Jackets, they're going to look like they're in the mud in reverse.
Well, yeah. I'll say this. John Tortorella, the coach of the Blue Jackets, had a conference call yesterday, and he said, quote, there are just so many days off. We've tried to do it the right way. Tuesday was probably our best practice. Now they know who we're going to play. I don't know what to expect. We better be prepared to play a better first period than we did against Tampa because we didn't compete. But he even says, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's funny because the other series in the East is the same thing. You know,
Islanders have been set longer than Columbus
right.
has.
And now Carolina, who beat Washington, they went 7. So you had 2 series going 7, 2 series that were a sweep. So, yeah, I'm with you, Mark. I think the first period could be kind of ugly, but I think if Bobrovsky make some incredible saves or whatever, he could keep them in it. And then all of a sudden, second period, they get their footing back and they're back to, you know, playing playoff hockey in that environment, and maybe they're good. But if they're down 2-0 or 3-0, then maybe, you know, the first game's over for them.
Yeah, I think that, like I said, Tortorella played these guys about a month ago and kept saying that this was the best team they faced in hockey. This was the best hockey team, and I do agree with that.
Yeah, their last meeting, it was in early April, and Columbus was in a dogfight to even make the playoffs. They were scratching.
They were going
and
in and out every night.
Bobrovsky ended up getting pulled from the game. The Bruins won 6-2. And
he was
after
off the force, yeah.
After the game, John Tortorella said that may be the best team in the National Hockey League, talking about the Bruins.
I am excited for post-game Tortorella. We got Torts all series long. He's going to be pretty entertaining. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he says.
I think he's going to be a little more subdued.
Well, we'll see.
I mean, look.
It depends. If there's like a bad call or something. I know. It really depends on how the game goes or how, especially if they lose a couple of games and there's maybe a call he doesn't like or something that doesn't go his way. I could see him getting a little upset.
Joe's in Belchertown. Hey, Joe.
How are you, gentlemen?
What's going on?
So there's been a lot of talk about, you know, the stamina level of the Bruins versus Columbus with the days off and whatnot. And my question to you, Dale, is do you think it would be wise to give Tuukka game one off?
No.
And let Halak start, considering the freshness of the Blue Jackets and the tired nature of the Bruins? Or do you think that his days off are going to affect him more so in that nature?
I would not. I mean, and I don't, by the way, he's playing tonight. So, we already know.
But would you?
Would I? I would not.
No, me neither. You're so good in game seven.
You get to the Stanley Cup playoffs and you know, here's our goalie. And the only time he doesn't play is if you're having a really bad game or you're having a really good game and you say, you know what, we're up 6-1. Let's get him the third period off type of thing. I think he's playing.
I think he's going to play
every game until
especially
you're
after the performance. Now, had you won 5-4 or 6-5 or something like that, maybe you would think about it. But his best performance of the last series was in Game 7. So I would hope that, you know, try to just keep that thing going.
I'm not discrediting how great Tuukka has played, because it's contrary to what a lot of other people think. I think even though he may have appeared average, I think that he actually played very well against a very fast and skilled Toronto Maple Leafs team. But I think that considering how much of a layover that the Blue Jackets have had, I know the last caller thing said that might take them a few steps to get going, but
yeah,
this is playoff hockey, and we've seen what they can do against a team like Tampa Bay Lightning. I think that the freshness of Halak could benefit them, especially if it's getting into the later periods of the game.
Yeah, see, I'm one of those people who thinks that it actually could hurt.
I do too.
Because Tuukka Rask has been seeing Stanley Cup playoff caliber shots.
And there's no
back-to-backs. Yaroslav Halak, I mean, you try. You do the best you can in practice. It ain't the same.
I mean, it's a quick turnaround, sure, but they had yesterday off. You know, it's not like they're ever going to play back-to-backs the rest of the way. Does not exist. And I think,
by the way, the schedule, the way it works out, they have an extra day between game 2 on Saturday night.
Oh, right.
They don't play again until Tuesday.
I think
there's a building availability issue in Columbus. And then once they go back to Tuesday of next week, then it's every other day the rest of the way, however long the series lasts.
But the way that they scheduled the regular season was so you could go with Tuukka the whole time. Tuukka only played in 46 games this season. There was a year under Claude where he played 70 games. So the whole idea of taking away a bunch of games is so at this point he is not as run down. I know he's playing every other night, but so are all the best goalies in the world right now. They're all playing every other night.
And it appears, by the way, based on what Bruce Cassidy was saying, I already told you Connor Clifton is in, John Moore is out, Kuhlman is scratched, Wagner is in for Kuhlman.
Your seventh player is out there, whoever that caller was. So get excited about Wagner.
Wagner will play on the third line with Coyle and Johansson, but it means David Backes is not in either.
Right. And I think that's fine. I wanted him in game 7, but that proved to not matter. There was no effect on it, so I'm good with that lineup.
Nate's in Rhode Island. Hey, Nate.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's going on?
You know, I just wanted to talk about how Tuukka Rask and Tim Thomas, you know, I watched when I was a kid the Tim Thomas Stanley Cup run, and that was exciting and, you know, really thrilling to watch. And I watch this series, and I thought that it's not thrilling, but, you know, Tuukka doesn't really bring that same energy that Tim Thomas did when he made those saves. You know,
well, they played completely different styles.
They're like opposite goalies.
Yeah, Tuukka is very, when he's playing great, it looks like he's hardly moving. Mm-hmm. It looks like the puck's just hitting him.
Thomas
Tim Thomas was frantic and frenetic and He was all over the
hitting
place.
Hitting guys with his stick.
Yeah, I mean.
Checking guys.
Look, when he's great, he was great. And yeah. Sometimes when you play like that, you get a little.
It's much different. And it's funny because Tuca, you're right, he doesn't show as much, I don't know if personality is the right word, or fire on the ice, but this is a guy.
He used to, but I was going to say,
this is a guy in the AHL would throw sticks on the ice and have these temper tantrums. He really doesn't. I mean, every once in a while, if he gives up a bad goal, maybe he hits the post with his stick or something like that, like all goalies do. But yeah, he's pretty calm, that's for sure.
He is pretty calm, and I know it's like more of positioning. He likes to get his body in front of it. But I don't know. I'm not really on the. I'm one of the few guys who's in the middle of Tuca. Some days he's doing good. Some days he's doing bad. You know, I just see those 10 ply goals and I get really upset about it. And I don't know. Tim Thomas wouldn't let that. You know, he wouldn't let that. He'd make like some crazy save instead and bring energy to those. I don't know.
I think part of it's also how they're built. I mean, Tuca's what 6'3" or whatever he is.
Yeah, they're
and
totally so different.
You don't want him
physically,
flopping all
they
around.
Were, and you know, I don't know. What Tim Thomas weighs now, so I'm going to suggest it might
be. What
do you mean? Well, he's been out of the game.
Some of these guys are in better shape.
He could be.
Yeah.
You know, he was a shorter, squatter goaltender. Is that fair to say?
Oof.
Back in his playing days.
Ross, is that okay? As somebody who is also squatter, is that okay to hear that? To describe somebody as squat?
That's fine.
Yeah.
Jack squat?
Yeah.
I didn't say that.
Did you say Tim Thomas is squat?
I personally wouldn't say that about him.
How would you describe Tim Thomas's build?
Like a fire hydrant.
Okay.
Like husky, maybe, Jason?
Husky?
No, that's he's not husky. That's his least favorite
word. Husky is not the
word.
Do
not use husky.
No,
husky is very
a tough word. That hurts
apparently
to
he heard that word a fair amount in his younger days.
Well, it was also the lining of the clothes. It was like large and then husky.
Husky was a size?
Yes.
Yes, that's why. And that's when my mom used to call me husky, and then people started calling me husky.
Husky. Oh boy. Oh, your mom called you husky, so that hurts.
Yeah, you know what else my mom once said?
It really is an issue with your mom.
It's a mom problem.
My mom once told me I'd never be a large.
What is? Oh, you're medium.
No. I was once
you
would
never be
much
a large
huskier person. We'll just say, and she told me, looked right at me. She goes, "You'll never be a large."
And you took that as an insult?
Yeah, I took it as motivation.
Big guy. You took it as a challenge.
Yeah, no, I would be like, "Hey, I'm a bigger guy. That's good.
No,
big fella. You shop at the big and tall."
No, because I'm not tall.
That was like my.
There's no big and short.
That was like my basketball coach in high school said to me. He goes, "Rich, no team that you are on will ever win the sportsmanship award." And I said, "That is the nicest thing anybody has ever said to me."
See, it doesn't surprise me to hear that you took that as a compliment.
I did. I was like,
"Thank
you."
It says a lot about you that you took it as a compliment.
Because we were at some banquet, like some winter sports banquet, and like the girls' hockey team or something won the best sports of the league. I was like, "That's a great prize." And he's like, "Don't worry, you will never win that." I was like, "Well, thank you."
And that's a big compliment.
That's a compliment. That's why she's like, "Hey, you're not going to be a large." But yeah, you're damn right.
Well,
go lift some weights. Be an extra large.
Good no, guns, that's not what I was looking out. For. And just so you know, Keith, I did accomplish that large size.
You're a large now.
Attaboy. Oh,
yeah. Thanks to Awaken 180.
And this was a long time. Yeah, thanks to Awaken 180.
Yeah.
Would you prefer, now a texter suggests that stocky would be better?
Ooh.
No, none Ooh. Of these. No. Everything's just trying to not say the word fat, which is the most.
Well, you said Scheim had meat on his bones.
Yeah,
that
he's
was
a bigger guy.
Then you said he was hairy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, out of nowhere. He's not that hairy.
Have you seen him without a shirt on?
No. I have. Yeah.
You have?
It's great. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We do shirtless laps around the building. I don't know. I'm surprised you guys haven't seen that. Yeah, we wrestle a little bit.
Yeah.
What's the big deal? It's but, show bonding is what that is.
Like if someone said, "Hey, Rossi's got a little meat on his bones," I'd be like, "Yeah, that's fine." But
all
someone
right,
goes,
so that's
"Rossi's
okay.
husky." Yeah, because there's just
is a little rough.
Stocky, no
stocky.
Thanks. Fat, I'll kill you.
Dale says squat. That's what he called Tim Thomas, which I don't even know if that's
actually
fair.
Now we've worked our way around. I like squat now.
Squat's
somebody
better.
Said squat.
That's sort of higher on the list.
What about stout?
Stout.
Someone is stout.
Huh.
That's probably a good way
that's
to define
not too
me
bad,
actually,
because
I'm like 4'1".
What about you're like a stump. Like a stump of a person.
Like a thumb.
Can I just ask?
Human thumb.
Yeah. Ow. You know, there's just nowhere to go that's positive after she called you a thumb.
Yeah, it's hard to hear.
Man. Yeah. You know what? We need to regroup
right,
after that one because I feel bad for all of us.
All right.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, back to the best. You don't just wake up one day and become the best. And confident.
You need to be confident in yourself, Dale. That's what you would have to be.
It's Dale and Keith on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
What's up,
What's up, guys?
We just want to say hello to everyone at the NFL Draft. These are the guys that are coming to take our positions. We appreciate you, NFL, for holding this every year to try to get us out of the league.
Yes, you rookies better be ready for Tom Brady and Bill Belichick to get on your butt. Oh, and Julian, because he's a squirrel.
And he's coming back, I think. I feel it. Let's go!
Julian Edelman, Rob Gronkowski posting a video welcoming the incoming class.
They're excited.
NFL rookies.
Are they going to be at the Bruins game tonight? Those guys have been making a habit out of it.
I wonder who the banner fan captain will be.
I don't know. A lot of good choices out there.
Well,
maybe Brad Stevens.
I mean, the best of all would be if you could get number 12, but
I don't know if he's
he's around.
Yeah,
he's here. I mean, he's been working out at BC, the pictures and stuff.
Does Columbus have a celebrity fan?
I don't know.
Is there anybody from Columbus that you could see?
Jim Tressel.
LeBron? Is this team?
Maybe LeBron will show up.
Maybe.
I appreciate that Chris Wagner admitted to the media today in the dressing room, you know, after the morning skate, that the cannon in Columbus startles him.
Yeah, it's a little aggressive.
Hate the cannon in Columbus.
Won't have to deal with that for a couple of games, though.
You can get yourself, you know, worked up for it. Get ready for it.
Prepare yourself.
He's not a big fan of the
loud
cannon in Columbus. Well, I hate it, too.
They're going to use that as bulletin board material. You guys hear that?
Shoot it off when he's in the middle of the power play. Just let it rip.
The Bruins' seventh player doesn't like the cannon? Oh, man. That's going to be the talk of the town.
617-779-7937. Chris in Plainville. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Nothing like stout goaltender talk.
Yes, exactly.
Some of the best.
Couple of names for you. Van Beesbrook, Moog, Fjord, Billy Smith, Timmy Thomas. That style of goaltending has been passe for about 10 to 15
years.
Yeah,
you don't see that anymore.
That is aggressive angles and good skating, whereas now it's about back of the net, lower ice coverage, and height. Anyways, my point back to Connor Clifton. I'm a big fan of this kid for a bunch of different reasons, especially coming into playoffs and some of the weaknesses that was exposed by Toronto to the Bruins. Their inability or difficulty moving the puck in transition with the back to the play, the defensemen are struggling. They're dumping. I think that will be copied by Columbus. They'll dump the puck in, force the Bruins defensemen with their back to the play. And Tuca's got to communicate the crap out of that. Connor Clifton's quicker at that. I think he can transition faster. Offensively, he's got the ability to jump into play, and he hits everything that walks. I don't think they should hold the kid back. I know he can get over-aggressive at times, but I would not sit him, and I would let him just be him and go, because I think the defense needs to be aggressive and have better transition, and this kid can do both.
Well, he's going to play tonight.
Yeah, he's in there.
You know, John Moore is out. He's going to play tonight. He is very enthusiastic. I mean, and to the caller's point,
should be.
He does like to hit.
He does,
and
yeah.
And you would think, and John Moore can hit as well. He's a pretty good-sized guy. Apparently, he is battling, I think Bruce said, an upper body injury of some kind.
Okay.
He's listed as day-to-day.
He didn't look particularly good in the series. And Clifton only played two games. So that could be one, even regardless of health, that could be, you know, that spot could be one that changes game to game, or maybe you get two games, depending on how long the series goes.
And I'm not saying that it isn't possible that you could even see Kevin Miller before this whole thing is over.
Maybe.
I mean, you know, you would like to think that perhaps Kevin Miller.
Yeah.
Maybe if the series went 5, 6, 7 games, maybe by the end of the series, or if you could advance beyond this series, maybe the next series. I'm not counting on him, that's for sure, but it would be nice to think that his physical presence is possible at some point if you can keep playing.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby is next. Hey, Bobby, how you doing?
Bobby!
Hey, guys, love the show.
What's
Thank
up?
You.
Yeah, so I grew up in New England, but I recently moved to Columbus and so back in August, and so I've been following some of the sports talk radio there, and this is a pretty big deal for them as a franchise. And
well, they've never won a playoff series before.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, exactly. And they definitely got, you know, a pretty good fan base who's excited and behind them. And I think it's going to be really interesting. You know, the Bruins did win on April 2nd, and Bobrovsky got pulled. But aim on March 12th when they played in Columbus, and Rask actually got pulled in the second period, I think. So I think it's definitely going to be interesting. And Bobrovsky kind of has a reputation for being up and down as well.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think it's going to come down to, you know, what what goalie shows up for them.
Sergei Bobrovsky!
I agree.
Yeah, look, it is entirely possible that...
You scared him.
Yeah, I know. Scared me. It's like the cannon going
off. But he's one of those. He is one of those guys that, you know, he has the ability to be absolutely elite.
I mean,
but then also,
Tuukka Rask won a Vezina 2 a number of years ago, and there are still those around here who think, Tuukka sucks.
Well, that was a one guy. I think that's a little... I don't think he speaks for everybody, but... Yeah, I mean, it's kind of simple, I feel like, going into any series and say, well, it's really up to the goaltenders, because it often is. But in this series in particular, because of how good both of these guys can be, but then also at times, you know, kind of the soft goals that they let in. So whoever plays better, because really, the first round, the first six games, Tuukka and Frederik Andersen were about a wash. And then it came down to game seven, and Tuukka was much better than Andersen. And there you go, there's your end result. So if this series kind of mirrors that, I think Bobrovsky is better than Andersen, so it's going to be a tougher challenge to see if Tuukka can win that matchup.
The matchup begins tonight, game one of the second round of the playoffs. And as we go on, we'll continue to talk about it. But we're going to turn our attention to the NFL draft tonight and the New England Patriots. Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, will join us. There's the question of, do the Patriots even pick at 32? If they do, what position do they pick?
We find out at 11:30 that they trade until tomorrow. They already have a bunch of picks for tomorrow. Tomorrow will be more exciting. They
much
have
busier.
All the second rounders. They have all those third rounders.
By the way, Andy Hart was whining on Twitter earlier.
What's Andy's problem?
Because Ben Volen was on the radio and Hart was out raking leaves. Well, he'll be here tomorrow.
Probably has a nice lawn, though.
Looks really nice. He'll be here tomorrow for all 4 hours. We'll have lots of chance to talk to him.
Good. With that attitude, we might bump him down to two, though.
2 hours, maybe a two-hour guy.
Make sure that guard
gets
all
whiny.
Raked up.
Don't be whiny.
And more importantly, what finishes first tonight? Keith, you're going to see Avengers. What time does it start?
It's a 10:30 start time.
10:30?
Yeah.
How long's the movie?
Late
as they
night.
3 hours and a minute.
I think it's a little more, but...
Nope, it's 3 hours and a minute.
Oh, I thought it was 12.
Nope.
Well, what happens first? The Patriots draft, or you get out of that movie?
Oh, no, the Patriots. Wait a minute. They might not draft tonight.
So they might draft till tomorrow, so there you go. I'll be out of the movie. Probably.
Have you muted all the keywords on your Twitter feed?
Every single one of them.
Attaboy.
Every single one of them. I'm just so afraid I'm going to have to pee like halfway through. So afraid of that.
That's what I go through life worrying about.
Isn't that miserable?
Don't you go before you sit down?
It's a long movie, and if
Three
I'm drinking
hours,
a lot,
well, maybe
what's the
don't
drink
as much.
Well, come on.
Alcohol tonight? We're going to have
Long Island iced teas. They got the Long Islands there at the movie theater that are delicious.
Those are big, too.
It's your like best bang for your buck because you get a Long Island, they make them like a shot of five different things for like 10, 11 bucks. Then you go buy like a pack of Twizzlers for like eight. So like what's the better deal? That's a good deal. It's the only thing that you get a value on. Everything else, prices are jacked. That's actually pretty fair.
Little Long Island iced tea and little Richie Keefe walks out of there pie-eyed.
Yeah, I'll take an Uber home or something. I'll be fine.
And we appreciate your safety concerns. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joins us next. Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.